Gibby, what's up?
What's up, boys?
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Getting ready to face the Yankees?
Oh, yeah, ready for the Yanks.
Hey, Gibby, let me ask you this. As a guy who played and a guy who's, you've managed against Derek Jeter, obviously this weekend, Derek Jeter's last weekend in Toronto with the Yankees. What's your takeaway in Derek Jeter's career? I mean, what's the first thing you think of when people mention the name Derek Jeter?
Well, Jeff, you know, obviously you look at what he's accomplished on the field. You know, he's going to go down as one of the all-time great players, you know, producing year after year for his entire career, and he's done it for a long, long time. But I think, you know, he's always viewed as one of those guys that, and it's rare, but he does everything right. You know, he's been, you know, really almost the face of baseball for a number of years now. And, you know, he just, you know, when the league needs something, you know, he's kind of their model guy. But, you know, really, baseball always comes down to, it doesn't matter what kind of guy you are, is how you perform on the field. Nobody's done it better. I mean, he's played the toughest position in the game for 20 years, and he's done it, you know, as well as anybody and better than most.
John, what part of his offensive game stands out to you? You know, we always think about Derek Jeter and that classic inside-out swing. I think most people in baseball will sort of, I mean, that'll be the memory that'll linger of Derek Jeter offensively. But what's he like as a hitter, and what was he like as a hitter in his heyday?
Well, you're exactly right when you talk about, you know, that inside-out swing. Yeah, he's got that classic swing. And what it allows him to do, I mean, he can, you know, he can take those nasty, tough pitches on the outside part of the plate and fire those to right field, and he can also take that good hard fastball that guys try to attack him inside, and you know, balls that you wouldn't think anybody can get to, and he can still fire those to right field. And the thing is too, I mean, he's hit his fair share of home runs in his career too, so I mean, he's you know, he can burn you that way as well. I mean, he's had some big home runs, some crucial home runs at times. So he's really just a tough out. If you look at the Yankee teams over the last decade or so, and, you know, when they were in their prime, really, and winning all those championships, and, you know, they were a very, very disciplined-type team. You know, they really almost, I guess you could say New York and Boston, the highly disciplined teams that kind of everybody started to follow. Well, you need to grind out the pitching staffs, get to the middle relievers, those kind of things. But, he was a little different, though, too. I mean, he'd come up there and ambush you right out of the gates on first pitches sometimes. So, you really had to be careful with him. I mean, he wasn't necessarily known for home runs, but he could still burn you or run some balls in the gap. He was really just a complete player and, you know, really a model for Major League Baseball.
Yeah, Gibby, you mentioned pitches, and I'm going to mention pitching tonight. Mark Burley's pitching against the Yankees, and I was looking up numbers, and these numbers shocked me a little to notice that he is 1-12 with a 6.15 ERA against the Yankees. And I couldn't really know why that is, so I'm just going to ask you, do you have any reason or idea why that is?
Well, I mean, you know, you look at the Yankees over the years when those, you know, all those numbers were occurring, you know, they've always had some of the better hitters in baseball. Mm-hmm. And I think most of it comes down to, you know, certain guys, whether it's an individual or a team, have success against certain individuals or a team. You know, that's just kind of the way it is. And then there's certain instances where there's certain guys that they can't touch you. Mm-hmm. You can just dominate certain players and then certain teams as well. That's just kind of the way the game works. And you know, when you've been around as long as Mark has, I mean, mm-hmm. you face players over and over and over. And that's kind of been, the Yanks have kind of been his nemesis. When I look at it this way, I think he's overdue. You know,
sure,
that'd be an understatement. But you know, I got a good feeling he's going to go out there tonight, and you know, when we need it, and throw a great ball game.
Mm-hmm. John Gibbons joins us on Baseball Central. John, we were asked by a listener for our biggest surprise on the Blue Jays this year. And I know we still got a month left. And, mm-hmm. you know, Kevin talked about Jose Bautista and just how his emergence as a team leader. I was talking about Drew Hutchison and his ability to, you know, keep it together over the course of a season and, you know, overcome. He had that home road split and he seems to have fought his way through that. Right now, what has surprised you the most about your team this year?
What surprised me? Ooh.
In a good way.
You know what? I mean, that's a tough question to answer, right, you know, on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, you know, what you're talking about, you know, with Hutch and, you know, I mean, nobody really knew what to expect out of Hutch coming out of, you know, coming off Tommy John. You know, he was great in spring training, but, you know, I mean, he's still a very young kid. He just turned 24 the other day, and I'll be honest, I think he's had a tremendous year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's battled through some ups and downs. I mean, he stayed healthy, and like you said, he, his road home splits, I mean, those were extreme for so long. And I think he's overcome that. I don't know if we all knew he was good, but, you know, how he's going to hold up on his first year back, I'm not sure. So that could be a little bit of a surprise. It's kind of been one of those mystery years, you know. We were so good early, and then we started sputtering, and then, we regrouped and got hot again. And, you know, it's been a frustrating year. For all of us, because, you know, we're looking for more consistency, that's for sure. But I will say one thing about this group as a whole is, you know, they're resilient. I mean, we've been frustrating to our fans at times. But these guys, they show up every day and they compete. You know, we have some games along the way that we look bad and we get blown out and things like that. But you know what? I mean, when their back's against the wall, they keep playing and make it interesting, that's for sure. But I'd have to have a little more time to think on what the big surprise is for me.
Okay.
Yeah, Gibby, let me ask you about a little bit of a surprise to me. Danny Valencia the other night showed great patience and had an actual really, really good approach, knowing he can't hit a fastball away as good as he can hit a fastball in. With that being said, and with Juan Francisco struggling a little bit right now, as we all know, is there any chance that we're going to see Danny Valencia a lot more in the future, near future?
Well, yeah, you're going to see a lot of Danny from here on out, no doubt about it. You know, we picked him up, you know, from, you know, the intentions, we'd always seen, you know, Danny good. You know, we got him from Kansas City. You know, I'd seen him early in his career in Minnesota, a lot of talent, played really good against some of the teams I was, you know, when I was with the Royals. And so there's something in that guy, and he's bounced around a little bit lately. But there's still a lot of talent. He's still a young man, and I think he's going to be here. Get a chance to be here for a while and help us. And so we're going to definitely give him some more playing time to let him try to establish himself. You know, we'll pick our spots with who's in there. He or Francisco, depending on the type of pitcher and things like that. You know, Francisco's. You know, he's definitely had his struggles. I mean, he was so good early on, and really, you know, through our big hot streak, I mean, was a big part of that. And we're hoping that they could catch fire again, you know, but it's been a battle for him. And Danny, you know, has had a tough time against some right-handers, you know, as of late in the last couple of years. So that's kind of the thinking there. But, you know, we need to find out a lot more about Danny. So, you'll probably see a lot more of him.
Mm-hmm. Gibby, have you noticed anything different in Kevin Pillar's swing since he's come back up here for a couple of games? He was talking to Kevin and myself yesterday about how he made some adjustments down in Buffalo to make himself a little quicker through the ball. And I mean, Kevin pointed out that double he hit the other night, that hustling double, he just looked like a guy who was really fast to the ball.
Oh yeah, well, you know, he made some adjustments with his hands. His hands are down in a different position, closer to his body, down a little bit more instead of, you know, up higher when, like earlier in the year. But the thing you got to remember about Pillar, Pillar's, you know, he was really an unknown when he was drafted. You know, he was a late round pick, and it's probably not a lot was expected of him. He was a tremendous player in a small college in California. So he's always had the ability to hit, but you know, people looked at him, and you know, I mean, they thought, well, take him low because, you know, they had doubts about him.
Mm-hmm.
But ever since he's been in, you know, in our minor league system, all he's done is hit and produce and been a good outfielder, a good base runner, all those little things. But he's one of those guys that, you know, he's got to prove it. Nothing's going to be given to him. He never has been. And so he's been up and down a couple times, you know, last year and this year. And it's been a tough go for him. But that's not necessarily unusual for young guys trying to establish himself. And the way his playing time during those earlier stints, I mean, it was sporadic. you know, and that makes it that much tougher. But, you know, we fall back on his, you know, what he's done in the minor leagues and what he was doing in Buffalo this year. And you know, everybody will tell you that this guy can flat out play. And so, you know, we need to find out about that too. So, but he's a very motivated guy. You know, we had that little dust up early in the year. I mean, that was no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of who he is. I mean, he wants so bad to establish himself. And you know, some of those things you can't blame him. But you know, there's just the simple things he did the other night. You know, stretching that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ball into a double and then scoring with the infield in on Reyes's ground ball and things like that. He has the ability to do those kind of things.
Yeah, Gibby, does Edwin look like he's getting closer to you by seeing the ball better?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mark, I think so. You know, we brought him back with both he and Lindy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we needed them both back. I mean, let's be realistic. And you know, they didn't get a whole lot of rehab games down there. And so you're hoping, well, okay. You know, they took their batting practice and things like that, but they weren't seeing the live pitch. And so the timing, you hope it might be a little bit better, but, it's that's tough to do. But they're both vital to us here this final month. And I see, you know, Lindy's throwing out his hits, and Eddie's close. Eddie's hit some balls on the screws, but then, you know, he's been a little off balance and his timing's been off. But he's definitely due to heat up.